Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 to 40. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that there are challenges that come in our lives, Lord. That in these challenges that you would meet us, guide us, strengthen us to overcome, that we might move towards the prize. Lord, that we can see that shining city. We have a place there that you prepare for us. Midst of the church of the firstborn, names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, celebrating with the angels. Lord, we give you praise, Lord, that we can move towards that. Ask that you would call us to that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Everyone said? Now, I told you that Lisa and I, a couple weeks back, went on vacation. It is the last week before school starts. And we got some people grabbing on to that last weekend. Amen? You can grab on to that. Lisa and I grabbed on to some time up at Big Bear last month, end of July, and went up there, and I had to do a little exercising, and so I decided I would be doing some hiking, and I did indeed hike the Castle Rock Trail. One of the additional challenges is that Big Bear is indeed at 6,200 feet altitude, and there is very little air up there. But so I decided that we were there for 3 days, and I said I was for a workout. I was going to hike this trail, and I did hike it for 3 days. And the first day I didn't complete it. It was indeed uphill. And, you know, it's kind of like, there's no air, there's no air, and I'm hiking, I'm doing this thing. And one challenge that I had is that I couldn't see the end, man. I mean, I'd be going, I'm going, okay, this is it, man. I'm gonna see Castle Rock, and it's like, no, man. I go around, I see another slope. I'm going, where am I going? And it wasn't until the end of the second day that I saw Castle Rock. And that I saw the goal that I was pursuing. And you know, it is easier to make it to that finish, make it through that finish line when you can see the goal. Amen? Now, we are talking about racing to victory. And our author is speaking or writing to some people that are getting ready to quit. Quitters never win. Can I get a witness on that? Sometimes life gets rough, and you just can't make it to the prize. The title of his message is Racing to Victory, and I hope you are. And if you're not, I hope you start, because there is a prize that is waiting. Amen? We're in a series called Freedom from the Past, and I read about the past this morning. I read about the heroes of the faith, those who had overcome, and those who had not received the promise as we have. And as we take a look at those past witnesses, we're going to take a look at those in just a minute. One thing that I have recalled in this message is that there is very little heroism involved in my past. In my past, I discovered, and many of you have discovered, that there's just a whole lot of loss. Can I get a witness on that? And that we're never going to move to the prize until we find freedom from our past. And so we are talking about breaking free and the changes that we need to make so that we can indeed find our way to the prize. Find our way to victory. I found that my prize is in Jesus. You found that to be Tommy Banks? Yeah, your prize is in Jesus as well. I found also that my past was what was holding me back from achieving and gaining my prize. And so I found, you know, everything that I was struggling with was holding me back. I found that my prize was on the other side. And then I need to give everything I can to get there. I hope you don't miss the prize today. Amen? The title of today's message is Racing to Victory. We are going to spend the rest of our time in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to talk about an audience. Therefore, this is right after what I finished reading, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And a writer says that you need to be ready to run a marathon. He starts off with all those heroes of the faith and those that had made the great sacrifice, and he says that they are indeed a great cloud of witnesses, that heaven is paying attention to our race. In addition, there is that element of that I completed chapter 11 with, is that their completion is found when we complete the race. And so they have, the witnesses that we have, they are like marathon runners, and they are like those who pass the baton. That they have indeed run the race, passed the baton, and now they look on with vested interest. That they are made complete as we are made complete. So they cheer us on. Does that make sense? That we have those who have gone before us that are going, go, Dana, go! Because they want Dana to win, but that they win when Dana wins. Amen? Thank you for that, Miss Gloria. Appreciate that. You only win if you're running the right race. See, God calls us out of darkness, and he calls us to race for victory. He calls us to race for the prize. But the only way we get his prize is if we win his race. Amen? It is a race. There's no freelancing. We don't get to choose where we want to go. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and race. Run that race that is marked out for us. Amen? Now, so you only win the prize if you run his race. There are some things that will hold you back. That sin that entangles. Now, that's an easy one. I hope you are not sitting here thinking that you are going to be able to race your way to heaven and claim your prize, dragging sin along with you in your life. It's like, here I am, God, hook me up. It's like, whoa, what you got with you there, guy? I mean, that's an easy one. Can I get a witness on it now? You might come in here. Now, I'm not saying any of us is perfect. You might come in here with some massive challenges in your life. You might need rehab. Hook you up with rehab this week. Year-long rehab for free. Hook you up right over here, 15 blocks away. Program, if you complete it, the success rate is 70 to 80%. Unheard of. You got some obstacles in your life, there is some assistance that is available to you. Amen? So, you got to be able to deal with that sin. You got to be able to get rid of that. Don't try hiding it. Got to dump it. Amen? Then he talks about this other thing. Everything that hinders. What is that? Because, and then he says, and the sin. So there's some other stuff that will hold you back in your race to the prize. That's not even sin. We have got some stuff in our lives that could be good stuff. We like this stuff. But it's getting in our way of running that race for the Lord. It can be good and pleasant stuff, but it's just an entanglement in your life. And the Lord says, our writer says, you're going to finish this race? Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize. You got to cast everything off, get rid of the sin, but get rid of some of that other stuff that's perfectly good stuff. But it's just tying you up and keeping you from getting there. Amen? See, the prize is on the other side. You got to give up everything you need to make sure that you get there. Amen? All right. Verses 2 through 4. Let me read back here. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. In our struggle against sin, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. See, it is easier to run his race when you have your eyes upon him. Amen? You got to keep your eyes on the prize. And our author says, whatever you do, don't quit. He was writing to these former, or he was writing to these Jewish believers in Rome who were considering turning away from the faith so they could escape persecution. He says, don't quit. And the picture that he gives us is that of somebody who is running a race, and you've seen it, a distance race, and they're running, and they're just running and running and running, and they get past that finish line, and they just collapse. It's like, oh, give me some water. I'm so exhausted. I've expended everything. You know what I'm talking about? And it is completely acceptable to do that after the finish line. But it is catastrophic if that happens during the race. That as you are running and the finish line is down there and you collapse right here and you quit right here and you are short of your goal, you are short of the finish, you are short of the prize. He says, whatever you do, don't quit, and you keep your eyes on the finish line. You get your eyes on Castle Rock, and it's right there, I can make it, I'm not going to give up. You know what I'm talking about? And you can get there, and you're like, you're spent, but you see the prize, and you can actually speed up, because I can make it to the finish line. And he says, when we run, get your eyes on Jesus, who endured the scorn of the cross, the shame of the cross, because he knew what was coming on the backside, on the other side, that there was glory, that there was a reward. On this side, he had to go through obstacles, the challenges from the Jews, the opposition of the Romans, the challenge from his own disciples. And for us, we endure those same obstacles. And sometimes it's just easier to quit. Don't quit. See, there's life on the other side. There's joy on the other side. The prize is on the other side, and you have to do give up everything you need to make sure that you get there. Amen? See, some of us are trying to run, and we are weighted down with our stuff. We are like this dude, right? And you're thinking about starting. You're thinking about running, and you got all your stuff. And you think, well, I can do it. And our writer says, you got to get rid of that stuff. You can't get his prize when you're too busy dragging around your prize. Amen? He says, you got to prepare yourself to run. Our prize will keep us from his prize. Our race will keep us from his race. See, the prize is on the other side. Make sure you get there. Amen? All right. Here we go. We okay? Character. God wants you to have some. God wants you to have more. And character comes at great cost. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when, not if, when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Let me say that again. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. Okay, we got some love rolling around this place, huh? All right, here we go. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship. Anybody have a rough week? That's it? Okay. Got some love rolling through here. There we go. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. Glory. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. God's discipline is a display of love. I have a question for you this morning. I want you to ponder this. How much does God love you? How involved is God in your life? How much does he care? Because if he cares, and if he loves you, and if he is engaged in your life, you are experiencing discipline. So you're thinking, oh, God loves me this much. Because no discipline is enjoyable. Amen? Our writer talks about this word of encouragement. Two verses that come from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And the idea is that of harsh discipline that produces a desired outcome, a desired result. It's kind of like, anybody lift weight? Lift weights, you know, exercise? Matt Gaudet, the man, all right. No pain, no gain, right? God wants you to develop kingdom character. And so he allows challenges, obstacles to come into our lives. He could remove them. He could give us lives of ease. But ease would not develop that character that he wants developed in us. Amen? It's in the disciplining process that God brings us along as children. And so he says that we should embrace this. We can grow closer to him. Lives of ease do not develop kingdom character. God uses the challenges, the obstacles of life to prepare us for the kingdom. The prize is in the kingdom. Amen? Here we go. Verses 11 through 15. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Can I get a witness? No discipline seems pleasant at the time. George has got it. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We run the race for the prize. We run the race, and we are shaped as we run. Okay? See, God calls us into this race, and as we come to the finish line, we are incredibly different than when we started. Can I get a witness? He talks about this race and this challenge and this discipline. See, discipline is not pleasant, but it gets us where we need to go. See, our lives and our choices get us where we want to go. It's that discipline of the Lord which moves from here to here, which gets us into lives of righteousness and peace and holiness. And he says, without holiness, you're not going to see God. If you don't see God, you don't get the prize. And you have to do everything you need to do. You need to shed everything you need to shed so that you can get to the prize. Amen? Shaped by the race, shaped by the discipline of God, shaped by the training. He says, straighten those arms and the feeble knees. And what that, the words there describe are joints that are dislocated. And people will come to the Lord and look at that race and be all tore up. Anybody remember when you started the race? Come on, somebody. A little tore up, right? And he says, straighten the way. You know, check out the raceway, because we got these tore up folks that are going to start running, and we don't want to beat them up at the beginning. And what we can do is, as they come in, they're all tore up, and their joints are out of socket and everything. Have a seat. Is there something I can get you to drink? Oh, let me get you something. Oh, no, don't get up. Let me just take care. And what our writer says is, no, man, straighten those joints. Pop them babies back into socket and then start moving. See, you prepare that path for movement. And as they move, those arms start to get strong. And those knees and those legs start to gain strength. And it is in the movement that healing happens. And so often we want the healing to happen before we start. We can get things all messed up, right? See, the prize is on the other side. And you have to give all to get where you need to go. Amen? Christian life is supposed to be like physical therapy. I told you a few weeks back, my rotator cuff is messed up. And I looked online for a messed up rotator cuff, and it says, yeah, you're probably old. And I went, oh, yeah, okay. Or I guess you're getting older, you know, whatever. It's all relative. I remember when other people were old. Now I look in the mirror. That's me, rotator cuff. But anyway, So I'm looking, and I look. My brother does physical therapy. He's a physical therapist. Been doing it for a long time. And so it's just exercises, man. So I look for rotator cuff exercises. You got to stretch. And you got to have movement. And so I looked at the stretching and the movement that I needed to have. And as I drive now, I stretch. And I stretch. And I stretch. Stretch. And I go through doors. It says grab the door and just kind of lean. And this is crazy. But I noticed that my rotator cuff is good now. You know? As I'm going, as I'm stretching, as I'm working, this one's good. Now, you know what else I noticed? This one is now messed up. You know, this used to be the good one. But this one is better than this one, so now I got to work on this one. He says, straighten the path. Put your joints back together and start moving. There's healing on the way. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. Last thing I got for you, end of chapter 12. End is in sight. Anybody happy about that? End is in sight. I am happy because I am old. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking with words that those who heard it beg that no further word be spoken to them. We're talking about Mount Sinai here. Because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The target is the city of God. Amen? Description of Mount Sinai. Fire, earth shaking, darkness, gloom, message of threat, do not come on this mountain. Fear, people would say, Moses, you talk to God, because if we talk to God, we will surely die. Even Moses is saying, man, I am terrified here. And our author is making a comparison to the message that came from Sinai that had a message of judgment that said, here are the things that you will do as my children. If you do not do them, you will be judged. And that whole nation perished in the wilderness because they rejected the message of God. And so the message of God now comes from heaven, and it is directed to these readers who were getting ready to leave faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they could escape the persecution that was coming from the Romans. And he says, your ancestors could not escape this promise that came from Sinai. How much more will we, if we reject this message that comes from heaven, not be able to escape judgment that comes to us? He says there are some things, there are some choices that you can make that you just can't recover from. There are some choices that you can make that you can be like Esau, who for a meal sold his birthright. And he couldn't go back. With tears, he's going, oh, let me take it back. And there's some things, some choices that you can make that will get you on the wrong side of the race, that will make it so impossible for you to come back, get your eyes back on the prize, and get to the other side. Does that make sense? He's saying, watch out what you do. Watch out what you choose. Watch out what you grab onto in your lives, because they can get you off track. And then he gives us this picture, our prize, a picture of God, a picture of of the judge, a picture of our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sprinkled blood. And he talks about the difference between the sprinkled blood of Jesus and the blood of Abel that cried out from the dust of the ground, that cried out for judgment. That is a cry from the past. Let this not stand. And he says, how much better the message that comes from the sprinkled blood of Jesus. This is the message of the new covenant, a message of mercy, a message of grace, that your sin has been paid for. The prize is on the other side. Make sure you do everything you need to get there. Amen? Last thing I got for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we're turned away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And we talk about a message from heaven, a message that is for us today. And we continue on with the image of Sinai and with Zion. And we talk about this shaking that will come. And the prophet Haggai talks about the shaking that would come, that in that last day that there will be a whole lot of shaking that is going on. And that the earth will be shaken. And that the heavens will be shaken. And it's kind of like a toaster. You know, you take a toaster and you're going to clean out your toaster, turn it upside down, and you shake that toaster, and all this crud starts. Crud, a Hebrew word, means crud. All that stuff just comes coming out. It's just all nasty. And the Lord will toss away the old earth. Toss away the old heavens, and there will be a new heaven. And there will be a new earth that cannot be shaken. The components of the kingdom of God. That is our prize. That is what we keep our eyes on. That is what we pursue. That is we surrender everything in our lives that hinders us from getting to that prize, which is on the backside. It's on the other side of this life. And there is joy, and there is fullness. Don't let anything on this side keep you from that side. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up and play some music? How much does God love you today? How is your week been? Your discipline level? How much have you been able to throw off because of the challenges that come your way from the very hand of God? And he says, my child, I love you so much that we're going to have to deal with this issue, or we're going to have to deal with this issue, or we're going to have to deal with that. He says, put your eyes upon me. And so many of you sit here this morning and your eyes are fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are running with great perseverance that race that has been marked out for you. And things that are in your life, you are casting them off right and left, and you run with reckless abandon to that shining city, to that prize that's on the other side. You might be a little sweaty this morning. You might need a bottle of water. You might need Little help. Lord, I see the finish line. I am running and I'm not quitting. Can I get a witness on that? But a water bottle would be good. Hallelujah. We can come along and give some people some water bottles around here. Maybe you are here this morning. You thought about starting that race, but you're thinking, man, I got too much going on. I got my race to run. I got my prizes that I'm worried about. And you know the Lord says, you can have them. I'm not going to get in your way, but I'll show you a way for you to get my prize. And you're going to have to give up all that stuff you're grabbing onto. Strip on down. Get ready for the race. It's a long one. Amen? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, I thank you that you call us out of darkness into light. Lord, I thank you for the obstacles that are in our lives that show us the stuff that's got to go, shows us the things that are slowing us down so that we cannot make it all the way to you. Perhaps you are here this morning and you've been dragging some stuff around. Lord says, child, I know you've had a hard week. I've been watching you the whole time. Time for you to let go of that. Grab onto me. It's just not worth it. But I am. This morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart. He says to you, will you grab onto me? I got a prize. I got a race. And it's time for you to start. With nobody looking around, Lord speaking right to your heart and saying, it's time to start running. You say, that's me, Lord. I'm ready. Give me the baton. I'll start. That's you this morning. Just raise your hand up right here. Anybody else say, that's me this morning. I need to start my race. Over here, somebody else would say, that's me. Lord, I want to know back over here. Hallelujah. Starting. The pistol's getting ready to go off. Bam! You don't want to be caught in the blocks, not running. Last shot. Last opportunity. Starter is there with a pistol ready to go. Saying, Lord, I want to start running. Nobody looking around. You put your hand up. You're ready to start running right now. Say, that's me. Just stick your hand up right here.